Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hey, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Bay Cities. Any announcements today? Huh? Well, it's so good to be here today. We had a great time away on vacation, conference and a vacation. Totally enjoyed it, but glad to be home. Sometimes you know when you really had a vacation when you realize you're ready to go home. Because vacations, you think sometimes on a vacation you'd want to stay. You want to live this way. But after a while, you're like, all right, let's get back home. Let's do what we need to do. This was great. Today I'm going to talk about life is like. And I was thinking, you know, because I was watching David's message, and it was funny. One of the funny things my dad told me, he said, I love that guy, man. He said, he's so funny. He said, he always talks about scientific stuff. He said, every time I turn it on, I learn something new. I was like, well, what does that mean when you watch me, Dad? I'm like, thanks, David. You know? I'm like, David, but it's truly a blessing that he can take, bring science and connect it with faith and make it work so that David helps us to believe how real God is, because it's beyond, it just brings it all together as far as everything that as far as why we live, why the world rotates, why the moon orbits the earth and the earth orbits the sun. I mean, I thought his explanations really bring the reality of who God is and how he's made things to be. So I'm not going to do that today. I'm not the science guy. In fact, when I took science, I was kind of glad to get the class over with. I was like, if I get a C in science, I'm good. And sometimes that can be because of the teacher, though, but, you know, whatever. But let's pray. Let's pray and allow God to do what he's going to do today. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this opportunity to be here, to have an opportunity to share a message, Lord, which I believe will encourage everyone, just to encourage them in their walk with you and encourage them in what we have, the responsibilities you've given us. Thank you for our pastor and his wife as they're enjoying their time together. Bless them, keep them safe in Jesus' name. And we thank you for all that you're doing in our church during this time. We just give you praise, Lord. Thank you for the worship that has gone forth. Thank you for using Jonathan and the team and just to help our hearts be prepared. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys remember, how many of you guys remember, of course everyone remembers Forrest Gump, right? Remember the saying that Forrest Gump said? He said, Mama always said that life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Now, that's so true. You know, I find that when I do my laundry. I never know what I'm going to get. Have you ever done your laundry and you have a stain on your clothes and it's just a stubborn stain you can't get out? Sometimes you use spray and wash, but you got to wash it like two or three times before it finally is back to what you want it to be. Sometimes it's how life is. Life can be like that stain sometimes. You know, sometimes in my experience, I don't know about you guys, but I have this experience sometime when I stay at hotels. Every time I stay at a hotel, my wife laughs because she knows what I'm talking about. When I stay at a hotel, one of the things I find, you never know what you're going to get when they give you the room, right? They assign you to a particular room. And my problem is, every time I go into a hotel room, the air conditioner is in the wrong place. Sometimes it's blowing, and I don't know what this thing I have with air conditioners, but it affects me, and sometimes I end up going through these breathing issues because, you know, it's so cold, and all of a sudden my nose gets stuffy, and I'm like, and I look up and I go, I thought I avoided the air conditioner, and then I find there's another little pocket and the air is blowing right on the bed. I'm like, who designed these hotels? I'm like, can they design an air conditioner in a way where it doesn't blow directly on you when you sleep? So, you know, that's one of my pet peeves I struggle with hotels. I don't know, is there a hotel designer in here today? I gotta be careful sometimes. You know, my next one, my wife will know that too, is I never know what I'm going to get when I fly Southwest Airlines. Have you guys ever flown Southwest? I told her I don't want to fly Southwest anymore. As you know, Southwest becomes a competition. You line up. Everybody wants to get that A class, right? Because you know you can get the seat of your choice. And now Southwest got smart. They said, if you want that seat, you're going to have to pay a little extra. And they wait until you get to the gate to do it. But I tell you, sometimes you think, some people think they can kind of use the wheelchair to kind of get them on there. And I mean, some situations are legitimate. Some situations are legitimate. I saw a guy, a known sportscaster once. He kind of had the little thing on his leg, and he was able to go on the plane first and get the bulkhead seat. And then I see him putting his leg up on the thing. I'm like, come on, man, you know. But I told my wife, I said, when we fly, I'd rather go online, pick my seat, and be able to go to that seat, because it's competition. You seats, you know, overhead storage for your luggage. I mean, if you don't get it right, you'd be left out, right? You end up in the, no one wants, you know, nobody wants to sit in the middle seat. Even my wife doesn't want to sit in the middle seat. You know, she used to sit in the middle seat next to me. Now every time we get on a plane, she wants to sit on the aisle like me. So that means she's going to sit over there, and I'm going to sit here. And I'm like, what is this? But that's kind of how life is. Life reminds me of Southwest Airlines sometimes. It just does. So number one in your notes, it says, life is like running a race to win an award. Life is like running a race to win an award. And 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, Paul said, do you know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? Only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. And this is interesting because when we think, you know, we just had the Olympics. I think today is going to be their closing ceremony. And it's been great. I love to watch the Olympics. I love to see the United States do well. And I mean, I was cheering right up to the end because I was like, man, you know, we always get the most medals. You know, we're fortunate in that way. But this particular Olympics, China was getting us on the gold medals. And I was like, oh, man, we got to get this. Can you believe it? It was like the last day yesterday we finally passed China on the gold medals. I was like, oh, man. I said, we got the gold medals now, you know. And so it's always, you know, encouraging to watch the Olympics and to kind of learn lessons from it. A few lessons I learned from watching it this year was, you know, I watched the hurdles. Now, again, when you run hurdles, it reminds you. I mean, you learn life lessons from this. So we had a few top hurdlers, you know, that really should have gave us guaranteed gold. But as I was watching the race when they played the replay, I noticed that when they stepped over the hurdle, they stepped over too short. And so a lot of times you have to stretch it out. You have to get a flow so that when you land a little bit further out so you can continue your momentum. And those that beat them did that, and they were just trying to clear the hurdle and make sure they didn't knock it over. And so they ended up getting silver medals, and they didn't get gold. And then we had our steeplechase champion who, to me, I thought for sure was guaranteed gold. And I probably in her career, I've seen her fall one time. And it just so happens in this Olympics, she fell. And it took her out of medal contention. And I was like, wow. And she trains hard. Her family supports her. She eats well. I mean, these type of things, these athletes, they take it seriously in order to put themselves in the position to win. And that's what I want to encourage us in this today. As Paul talked about, we need to run to obtain. We need to run to obtain. So what are we running for? You know, a lot of times we think, well, when Paul was saying this, what is he talking about? What are we running for? And we don't have to worry about salvation. We have that. That's within our grasp. We already have that. But he wants this attitude that he wants us to have. Now, thinking about this, because in those days, at that time, the church was young. I mean, this was a new thing for them. You know, trying to build these churches in various communities, and Paul was really heading it up, and probably a lot of them were younger people at the time, or at least they were younger in the faith, and they didn't understand. And so you got a lot of these people that come in, that they come in with a different message, that try to get them off track. Why does this happen? I mean, this is the work of the enemy, for sure. But Paul would just encourage them, because sometimes, and in some cases, probably like in the case of the church of Corinth, they were dealing with persecution. There was a lot of persecution that was going on in that community against the message of Jesus. The communities didn't want that. And, you know, because they were Greek, and they believed in Greek mythology and that type of thing. So here's this other message that comes in and talks to them about a God of love that's one. And he sent his son to die for our sins. And so for them, that was like, wait a minute, we don't want this. And so they began to persecute the church of Corinth, and various churches went through this. And Paul's message was to encourage them. He used the example of being in a race so that they can continue to strive. They can continue to prepare their hearts so that they can go forward and not lose hope. There's like, when I think about running, there's like basic language to running. I mean, Kurt James may know this because he's always running all the time. So he's our resident Spartan guy. So, so he may know. But you know, some of us know this. You know, one of the things like athletes have to do, especially when you're in a race and you're coming to the finish, you have to maintain your form. You have to maintain your form, because if you lose your form, then everything goes out the window. So you got to keep your arms pumping, and you got to keep running. You got to maintain this. And Paul is really trying to bring this attention that in the same way, we have to maintain. We have to maintain, because I tell you, sometimes there are times when we can lose hope. I can tell you my personal life, sometimes when I'm going through something, you know, especially like health-wise, like I went through a little bit this week with my shoulder and my neck, and you know, and it's in the evening. I was telling my wife, I said, why is it at nighttime is always a battle? It's always a battle at night. You know, in the daytime, we're fine. But at nighttime, when it's time to go to sleep, it's like your body is like acting out. And I'm like, look, I want to go to sleep. You know, why can't I go to sleep? And I got to get up. And, you know, I know sometimes anxiety kicks in because you're not sure what's going on. And so you kind of have to battle through just to get sleep at night sometimes. And sometimes you just feel like, I don't even know. You want to stay mentally focused. You don't want to lose hope. And, you know, I find myself crying out to Jesus in those moments, saying, all right, I got to believe what the Word of God says. I got to believe what Jesus, you said about me in this moment, just so I can get through the night. Believe that you're going to give me the peace I need so I can have a peaceful sleep. And when I turn my mind to that and I begin to think about what the Scriptures say and I begin to talk to Jesus, I find myself being able to finally fall asleep and have a peaceful sleep. But sometimes it's tough. It's not easy. It's not an easy battle that life brings. If it's not a physical thing, it could be a relational thing. It could be a you know, an employment thing. You know, it could be something that you may be dealing with your job, a financial thing. These type of things sometimes keep us up at nighttime, and we find ourselves not being able to sleep. You guys feel me on that? You guys know what I mean? Have you struggled with that before? You know, sometimes I wonder, like for me, I wonder, like my wife, she sleeps so good. I'm picking on her today. But a lot of times when I'm going through it, I wake up and I look at her and she's just doing good. Even when sometimes things are tough. But I did notice through the years of being married to her, sometimes when things are tough, she will get up and she'll have her moments too. I just seem to have them more than her. But yeah, so these type of things can get, so you got to maintain your form. You got to keep yourself focused on that. Another language in running is you got to have the right pace. You got to maintain the right pace. And I know this because when I used to run in my life, I used to run like about 6 to 8 miles a day, believe it or not. But then my knees started giving me some problems, and that kind of took that away from me. But I remember maintaining the right pace when I was running, because if you're going to run 6 to 8 miles, you don't want to run too fast, because by the time you come back around, you'll be walking. And so I would try to maintain this right pace just so that I can run the whole distance, because it really is beneficial. You get stronger as you go. And I remember the first mile was the hardest. But then after I got to 6 miles and I consistently did 6, 1 mile was easy. The first mile was easy. I can almost run it as fast as I want and then still be able to maintain the right pace the rest of the way. And so we have to maintain the right pace in this race that we're running. Another word they use in runner's language is cadence. Cadence, the number of steps a runner takes. And, you know, I was talking about the hurdles. You know, sometimes hurdlers, they count the steps they take in order to be able to reach the next hurdle so they can have that right pace and they can, successfully do it. And so that's something that we have to do. And sometimes it depends on, you know, your height, your weight or whatever, your strides, these type of things, your experience, all of that plays a role in you being able to do this. And then finally, it's your stride, the steps you take forward in your run. Is you got to have the right stride to be able to alternate. One of the hurdlers that in the Olympics that ran a 400, that she won the gold medal, she adapted a new technique in which a normal hurdler would running a 400 meters would take like, I think she said they would take like 15 steps per hurdle. She lowered hers down to 14. And the reason she did this was then she can jump with either leg, alternate legs, and not lose her pace. So it enabled her to run faster. So she might hit one hurdle with her right leg and then the next one with her left. But I was watching her because she hit it more with her right than her left, but it left her in a position where, you know, if you watch them, sometimes they stutter step, you know, and if you stutter step, that means you're on your left leg, but you don't feel comfortable jumping with that, so you stutter step so you can get your right leg, but it throws your pace off, and it puts you in a position where if the other person is on point, they're going to pass you. And so she learned how to do it where she can do it with either leg so she wouldn't have to stutter step and it wouldn't mess up her pace. So it was very interesting watching it. But in life, this is the type of things that we have to give attention to as far as in our walk with Jesus, to maintain that type of thing, to maintain consistency. Number two, in your notes, it's in order to win, we have to get ourselves in the best shape possible. Now, we know this. We know this from an athletic standpoint. But what does that mean for us as people that are following Jesus? What does that mean? In 1 Corinthians 9:25, he says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things, in all things. Like I told you, our steeplechase champion, her name's Emma Coburn, just hearing her story and watching how her family knew in order for her to succeed, she had to eat the right kind of food. She couldn't just eat anything. Some of the athletes have to sacrifice. They have to sacrifice so much to be the best. And I think as Jesus followers, sometimes we have to sacrifice. We have to sacrifice a lot in order to obtain. We're going to have to sacrifice a lot of things in our lives. So for her, she probably had to give up eating a lot of her favorite sweets and, you know, maybe her favorite junk food in order for her body to be in the right condition so that she can have the endurance to go through, because there's certain foods that will help you. Now, I don't know if you guys ever experienced this, but I know that if you eat the wrong thing at night, you will dream crazy. Have you ever noticed that? Yeah, I mean, if you eat, like, say, I don't know, I've caught myself on a few occasions. I try to keep myself from eating anything late because when I do, I have a crazy dream and my wife knows. All of a sudden, I'll be like, I might be swinging or, you know, I might say something out loud. And I start realizing, I say, what is that? And then I always go back and I go, man, I shouldn't ate that cheesecake or I shouldn't ate that hamburger or whatever. If it's something heavy, it affects you that way. And the crazy thing is what it does, what I learned was that, you know, our bodies, now here's the best I can give you as far as science. Here's the best I can give you. Our bodies, God designed our bodies. This was really cool. I learned this, Carla and I were in San Diego one year and we went to the science center down there and they talked about, and it was the craziest thing because I was dealing with this and when I saw it, I understood better. They talked about how our bodies go into sleep paralysis, right? When you go to sleep, your body literally shuts down. And it's like a sleep paralysis. But you don't know this because you're asleep. So your brain can do whatever it needs to do to restore whatever needs to be restored in your body. So you go into sleep paralysis. But God designed it to protect us. because of dreams. Because sometimes our mind can dream, and that dream can be so real to us in that moment, we may actually physically react to it, but the sleep paralysis saves us from doing something that might harm ourselves or others. Your wife next to you, or or your husband next to you, you know. And so I thought that was so interesting because I never knew what that was when I was growing up. But sometimes you just happen to wake up right in the midst where your mind, the subconscious, hasn't turned over to the conscious, so you connect and it's like this paralysis. So what they said happens is you begin, it's almost like your worst nightmare. You begin to think either the horror flicks in your mind come out. That's all I can say. All of a sudden, it's either, you know, Frankenstein, you know, the wolf man, or the devil. Somebody's holding you on the bed, or a witch, or something. They talk about this whole thing, and when you experience it. But I realized that a lot of it had to do with what I ate that night before, if I had waited too long to eat. So I had to say, man, you know, if I don't eat, I go a longer period of time without experiencing that. But, you know, when you were young, you hang out with your friends, you say, okay, let's go to Tommy's, or, you know, some late night place, and you eat food, and next thing you know, it's like, boom, you know, I had this crazy dream, you know, what's going on? But self-control, he said, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. And he was encouraging the Church of Corinth at that time and encouraging us today, self-control in all things. So we got to examine ourselves to find out what that all things represent. Because it can represent a lot of different areas. Because we all, at some time, struggle with self-control. You know, there are different ways that we may have something that we might overindulge in. And then he says, they do it to receive a perishable wreath. And listen to that. That's interesting. I can talk about that a little bit. A perishable wreath. But we an imperishable. Now, when he was talking about that, think about this. In that day, when they did the Olympics, you know, you guys heard that back then they did the Olympics with no clothes on, right? Yeah. You've heard that, right? But, oh, they didn't get gold medals back then. They got a wreath. You know, that was it. You got a wreath that was in the shape of a U. The winner got that, and that was pretty much it. And I looked into it a little bit, but I'll get into that later just to kind of understand more about that. But in Hebrews, and I'm not sure if I gave that to Joe and them or if it's in your notes, but Hebrews 12, verse 1, I think it may be in your notes. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely to us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So this whole thing with self-control and, you know, just having self-control in all things, it's laying aside these weights, these things that are clinging so much to us. And it was interesting because in that verse, it talked about how we're surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. And for years, I always thought of it from, you know, if you look at it from a literal perspective, it's like these people in heaven are cheering, yeah, go, go, go. But really what it's telling us is that these people already went before us. And they set the standard before us of what it means to do this. And so we're to follow that witness. You know, it's like, you know, they're the ones that, you know, if you're in a moment, you know, you know, they sometimes say in church, can I get a witness? And these are the people that are the witnesses that say, yes, it does work this way. And we can look at the scriptures and find those witnesses whenever we're going through it as a way to encourage ourselves. But so laying aside every weight is like choosing the clothes you wear. Now, in today's Olympics, they have clothes that are suited in each event in order for them to be effective. You know, maybe some are maybe a little different than others, but in every athletic event, you have to have these certain type of clothing in order to succeed. And so for us, our clothes, I would say, would be like the armor of God, as we read in scriptures, and the love of God and those type of things. Those are the things that we can put on as a way to help us, you know, endure through this race. Number three, it says, in order to win, we need to keep our eyes on the prize. We need to keep our eyes on the prize. And so Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 9:26, he says, so do not run aimlessly. Do not run aimlessly and do not box as one beating the air. So he says, do not run aimlessly. And so in other words, he's telling us that we need to have a goal in mind. We need to be focused and be able to focus in on the prize. Now, when he was talking about the prize, he wasn't, because we already, salvation's already taken care of. So that isn't the prize. But, and I don't think he was necessarily talking about anything in particular, but when I think about it, our prize is more us being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. As we continue to go, Jesus' character begins to rub off on us and we begin to change. I find change in my life, I don't realize it until hindsight. I look back and I realize something changed in my life, because when I'm putting forth the effort to change, I don't realize a change is happening. I just know this is something I have to work on. And usually it'll be a situation where maybe I reacted a certain way at some point, but then all of a sudden that reaction changed and I'm not reacting that way anymore. And so he's saying, let's not be aimless. So that means we recognize, we come out of denial, as we say in Celebrate Recovery, we recognize the area that we have to work on and we begin to work through it. And those areas, it doesn't have anything to do with our salvation, but it has to do more with who we are and who we become as we work through it with Jesus, as we connect with him. Because Jesus wants us to be that example. He wants us to be, you know, people to be able to look at us and see him. He wants people to look at us and see him. But the only way that can happen is by us being able to identify those things and us being able to connect with him on a regular basis. And he does the work. He does the work in us. It's not, we're not talking, anything that we're talking about here is not about our effort, but it's about us connecting with him and his thing, him doing this work in us. Okay, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, it says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. This is Paul talking. And in the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight and I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me in that day. And not only me, but also all who have loved his appearing. So it is a crown of righteousness. That's one award we can look at, that, you know, that day is coming for us too. But the great thing about Paul is he knew what he was here to do. He was on a mission, and so are we. We're on a mission. But Jesus has to do a work in us. Paul didn't have, you know, it wasn't like he jumped. He did jump in and start doing the work of for the kingdom of God like we should. But along the way, he had to learn and grow and understand. He had to have a relationship with Jesus and learn what that's all about so that Jesus can do the work in him and then use him in the way that he did. But he felt at the end of his life at that point, he had run the race well. And I believe that all of us want to be able to say that when it's all over, that we've run the race well and we have fought the good fight and we are keeping the faith. Basically, running that race has a lot to do with patience. We should feel like the last one who has been chosen on the team. But let me assure you, God chose you. God has chosen you. This was not something that just happened, but God has chosen each and every one of us to be a part of this team that he has. And we should stay steady on that and not give up. Life is going to come at us, but we're on God's team. Life is going to throw us a lot of curveballs and a lot of obstacles, a lot of hurdles, but we're on God's team. And we have to be encouraged as we go through it and we're faced with those things that we're on God's team and that he's using these things to continue to develop his character in us. We're so used to it in a lot of ways. We're used to navigating through these challenges on our own. But sometimes we find ourselves still failing. But that's because we need to connect with him. He is the one that's going to help us get the understanding that we need in order to be able to have his character built in us. It's all about his character in us. Every challenge that we face is about what he's doing in us. And so we can't give up. We can't give up when life brings those challenges our way, everything we face. One of the things that we were at the Celebrate Recovery Summit, one of the things that was brought out was going through storms in life. They talked about going through storms, and they said either you're getting ready to go through a storm, you're in the middle of a storm, or you're just coming out of a storm. And that's how life brings it to you. That's what life is like. It can be like a storm sometimes, as we're going in, or we're in the middle of it, or we're coming out. But those are just, God uses that in our life. And if we can get the picture of that and not get caught up in the storm, because when you get caught up in the storm, that's when you get discouraged. That's when you feel like giving up. That's when you act out. You know, a lot of different things happen when we're in that storm. But if we can see that storm as an opportunity for, okay, Jesus, this is tough, but I need you right now. I need you, and I have to believe that you are with me in this. You are with me through this no matter what, and I'm going to get through this. I got off the plane last week, and, you know, I deal with tinnitus, right, you know, which is, you know, the ringing in your ear, right? The plane just exacerbated it, man, and it was like my left ear was just boom, and I was like, oh, man. And two nights, I really couldn't get a sound sleep because of it. So in my mind, I thought, how am I going to get, you know, what we do is we think about the long term. Like, am I going to deal with this for 3-4 years? How can I deal with it for that long? And if you think like that, it'll make you crazy. So I had to think for the moment. I had to think for the moment, just one day at a time. I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this, but right now I need your peace. Right now I need your peace so that I can sleep. I need your peace so that I can get rest. And in that moment, I was able to, you know, I put my AirPods in, I listened to an encouraging podcast, and just kind of allowed myself to think about that. And then I was able to go to sleep. And I just took it one night at a time from that point on. So God has a way to help us in every moment. A lot of times we don't always know in that moment, but he is there with us. We have to remember that. He is with us in those challenges. He's with us in those situations. But going back to when Paul talked about the wreath, I wanted to find out more information about this. And in the Olympics, in the ancient Olympics, all they got when they would win an award is this olive branch that was made of this wild, it was like a wild olive branch that was made into a U. And that was the award. It wasn't until they decided to reinstate the Olympics back in, I think it was 1896. And at that time, that was the first time when they started giving medals. Now, this is the funny thing. The winners got silver medals, and those that came in second place would get a bronze. And then when they had the Olympics in 1904, I think, was when they actually implemented the gold medals and the silver and the bronze, because as a way. But every Olympian, and I didn't know this, they all get a certificate of some sort of their participation. Even if they don't get a medal, they still get something that they can keep to say they participated in the Olympics. You know, because sometimes I wonder when you watch the Olympics, I'm like, why are the silver and bronze people celebrating? They didn't win. But basically, they're just happy that they got a medal and they're able to stand on the podium. And so they celebrate. And I was like, man, I said, it just seems like if one person got it, everybody else will try hard. I don't know if you guys ever saw this. I watched this show, American Ninja Warrior. And it's like parkour type thing. And I remember the first time I saw it, before it was American Ninja Warrior, it was just Ninja Warrior, and they did this in Japan. And everybody went once a year to try to conquer these obstacles. And if you could not do it, it was over. You had to wait till next year. And in the history at that time, only 3 men did it. One guy did it twice. But everybody else would do it and fail miserably. And I was like, what is this? I said, I've never seen anything like this where people compete, and if you fall, it's over. You never got a second chance. Of course, when they brought it to America, they kind of added a few things to it to try to make it more conducive to our television watching, because it always is about, what the sponsors are saying or whatever works. But in Japan, it was like, if you did not make it, you were done. You had to wait until next year. And people would try hard, and they just could not get this thing done. But now it's become a movement of so many places now to train you on this. And then still people fail to do it. They can't do every stage. It just becomes a really difficult thing because it requires so much. But why did I say that? I was saying that because when we were talking about the Olympics, they give medals. But one person, just like in the scripture, talking about one person gets the prize. This is the thing about our lives. We have the opportunity, because we're not in competition with one another. I'm not competing with anybody in this room to see who's going to get the prize. Our competition is with ourselves. And the whole thing is, Jesus gives us, it's not like a baseball game where three strikes and you're out. You actually get as many swings as you want to be able to hit that home run. And that's what makes it such a blessing. But now I want to move to number four, because I was talking about the Olympic history, and that's what it was. So number four in your notes, it says, in order to win, we need to practice to avoid pitfalls. We need to practice to avoid pitfalls. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, it says, but I discipline my body to keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now, when I read this, I was like, well, what is Paul talking about being disqualified? I said, why would he think that? But again, he's not addressing salvation in this matter, but he's rather concerned. One of the things that they believe, that a lot of people believe, that in his situation, and this is, I believe this could be true, because we still have the free will to make choices. So God never forces anybody to do anything, but sometimes we, as people of faith that follow Jesus, sometimes we can make bad choices. I don't know. We can make bad choices sometimes that could be detrimental. I'm trying to think of something right now. It's like if I just decided I wanted to be, Evel Knievel, and I didn't train to do it. I just got on a motorcycle and said, I'm going to jump over 23 cars. I mean, that would be a bad choice, right? I mean, that's a little extreme. That's extreme, but sometimes we make little choices in our lives every day that we may not realize can affect us in a negative way, one way or another. I mean, we can get injured. We can die. And Paul was just saying that, he wanted to make sure that whatever he did, that he didn't come up short as far as God, what God wanted for his life. He didn't want to make any bad choices. He wanted to be connected with Jesus to try to make the right choices. And he knows he's not going to be perfect, and God's grace is going to cover him in different ways, but we still have to live a certain way. We have to pursue God in a certain way, because sometimes if we make a bad choice, it can affect us physically. If we overindulge in something that may not be healthy for us, it's going to affect us physically, whatever we may do. It's things that we always need to consider, and Paul considered that. In Galatians 5:17, in this case, again, Paul working with different churches here, he says, you were running well. He said, who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. And then he says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. So in this case, what's happening is in the church of Galatia, they were dealing with a situation where some guys were coming in again with false teaching and trying to, you know, just deceive a lot of the early Christian believers at that time. But the whole thing is Paul noticed that something had changed in their pursuit, and he was trying to encourage them. He's trying to find out, okay, what is it that kept you, is keeping you from obeying the truth now? And so it's something that the scriptures tell us that we should study to show ourselves approved, because there are going to be people all the time that are going to tell us something different, especially our young people. When they go to college, they can hear a different message sometimes that can take them in a different direction. And so it's good for them to know what the truth is and what they're standing on, as well for us, because people come with stuff all the time and they're always trying to say something different. I saw a guy came to me one day and he showed me this video on the internet of some girl speaking this thing that she felt was true to her. And she was trying to tell people that basically that Jesus wasn't a way. And this is how she concluded, which I thought this was hilarious. She said, "If you don't believe me, watch Interstellar, the movie." I'm like, okay, so you're believing what a movie says over the truth about the gospel. I just told him, I said, that's ridiculous. I said, but people actually will put their faith in things that aren't even realistic. But we have to make ourselves solid. And I was thinking about, and he says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And I was trying to think of how does that look? And you know what came to my mind? Lucy. Remember that time when Lucy was baking the bread and the thing, when she opened up the oven, it was like 20 feet long. But that's what he's saying. Is he was explaining to them how this false teaching was affecting that group. It became like leaven, and it was like that big piece of bread that Lucy had, but it was spreading all around, and it was defeating them. So they were running a race, and all of a sudden it just took some words from someone else that just took them off track. And so for us, part of that focus is us continuing to love and connect with Jesus and know what he says. And number five, it says, in order to win, we need to look to Jesus. We need to look to Jesus. And in Isaiah 40, I love this verse. It says, "Have you not known and have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." The cool thing about this is that when we feel like giving up, we have a God who doesn't get tired. We have a God that doesn't faint. We have a God who his understanding is unsearchable. Everything we need in those moments where we feel like we can't make it, we can't give up, we have a God that can do that for us. I was looking over there at Jeff right now, just thinking of what he went through. And how, when I remember talking to him and how much he was leaning on God, and he was able to accept whatever God's choice was for him. And God has him sitting right here today, and it's a blessing to see him here, you know, well, doing well, and that type of thing. But we have a God in those moments that doesn't grow weary and he doesn't faint. He's with us. He's with us at nighttime when we feel like we can't sleep because of whatever the enemy's doing to our minds to try to mess us up. The enemy loves that. He wants us to lose sleep because then the next day we can't function in a way where we're connected with God, you know, where we can walk in the character that God has given us to display to other people. Because, man, when you don't have sleep, you can be quite snappy, you know what I mean? It's tough. No sleep changes you. So you want to be able to get rest. Hebrews chapter 2, 12, verse 12 says, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. See, he showed us how to do it. He showed us how to do it when he went to the cross. Everything that he went through. Think of the emotions that Jesus had to deal with. And he endured it. He endured the shame that he was on display in front of all these people. And yet, you know, what they were putting him on a cross for, he was innocent of. But he went through it because he knew he had to die for our sins and show us how to do it. So as we go through this life, we won't give up. That we can turn to him, the one who's been through it, and find what we need from him. So basically, in a nutshell, we need to connect with a God who never faints, who never grows weary, and who can renew our strength. This race is not a race that we run alone. We're not running in competition with each other, but we don't run this race alone. We run it with each other, but really, ultimately, we run it with Jesus. He's with us throughout what life brings. He is with us. And if we can always remember that when life brings it, we can, man, our thinking can stay stable. Our focus can stay stable as we go through it. And he will keep it that way for us as we remember that. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, you're so good to us, Lord, because sometimes in this life we can forget easily. Sometimes we forget you're there. Sometimes we get so caught up in what's going on. We caught up in the storms of this life, and they shake us. But Lord, help us to remember that you are with us. Help us to not just, let us take the time to keep ourselves fresh on this, to be like the runners in a race. To make the sacrifices, to be disciplined in every way so that we can be prepared, because we know storms are going to continue to come. We don't know what they are. And sometimes we try to think ahead and think, well, what if this happens or what if that happens? We don't always know. And there's nothing we can do to keep ourselves from experiencing pain or suffering or anything like that. But Lord, we know this, that you've been through it already. There's a cloud of witnesses that have been through it that can definitely witness to your grace and mercy that works on our behalf. So, Lord, we want to lean into you. We want to lean into you in these times when we feel like life is just caving in on us. So, Lord, we just give you praise. We give you praise for your peace. We give you praise for your grace and your strength through it all. In Jesus' name, let us run this race. Let us run this race to obtain. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys, have a great day.
Some days life feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working.